Lots of channels, nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel, straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. Tonight we have, this is the voice of the Christian resistance for 50 years. It's the voice of the Christian resistance and, tonight over there, our producer in the glass cage with the light on tonight is none other than the guy with a big smile, Style, right?
Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening there, Style, right here, almost live, right in the studio here. I've got Radical Randy Gay.
Be blessed, no stress, everybody.
There you go. And there she is, the studio marm, little, well, they call her what? They call her Glock Lisa, or Lock and Load Lisa. Lock and Glock, Lisa, right?
Good evening, everyone.
Get a lot of cackling, never any eggs, though, there. Okay, but now we got our, it's that time of month that we have none other than, well, he's a naturopath. Dr. Peter J. Glidden, N.D.
Pastor Sanders, always a pleasure. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
All right. We got a whole lot to talk about tonight, so we're going to get right into it. This week, the title of the message was The Written Word of God, and we've been comparing the King James Bible, the real Bible, with all of the almost 400 now, 400 perversions, or what they call versions of the Bible in English alone. That's in English alone, okay? And so God didn't give us 400 different Bibles. In Psalm 12, verses 6 through 8, he talks about the purification of the Bible tried seven times. Well, we've been showing you, we've gone through the seven stages, and it's good to go over it again and again to show you the difference between, well, here, this is a prophecy fulfilled in the King James Bible. And the seven stages where it was purified seven times and preserved. In 1384, John Wycliffe translates the whole Bible into English for the first time in history. Now, what happened? Well, the apostate church repays him by condemning him as a heretic. In 1536, William Tyndale burned as a heretic for his Bible translation work, the first printed English scriptures. That's purification two. Purification number three, 1537, Miles Coverdale's Bible translation published with the king's most gracious license. Later, during Bloody Mary's reign, he is hunted for his life and forced to flee England. Purification number four, 1539, Coverdale's great Bible chained to the pulpits of the, by order of King Henry VIII, Christians being executed for reading the Bible without a license. That's purification number four. Purification number five, John Rogers burned to death for publishing the Matthew's Bible. He becomes the first victim of the Bloody Mary. Queen of England, 1555. 1560, Queen Mary commands all heretics to return to Romanism to face the consequences, or face the consequences. Many flee to Geneva, and the exiled church leaders produce the Geneva Bible. That is purification number six. 1611, the seventh major English translation of the Bible scriptures, the King James Bible, is published and is adopted as the authorized version, authored by the people of God, as the Word of God for the English-speaking world, purified seven times. Now, what is unique about the King James Bible today? Again, you had 54 different men who were given the charge, and these were all Bible scholars, every one of these 54. Most of them never knew each other. 10 of them never lived to complete the work. But try to get three or four men together and be in perfect concert on any subject, okay? You know, try getting four guys together and talking about football game, right? Try to get... Well, today, I mean, it's really tough to get four people together, four pastors together, and agree completely on every part of Scripture. Yet these 54 men were in perfect, perfect concert. You don't do that by yourself. That's the moving of the Holy Spirit. And this is why the King James Bible has been preserved. Now, there's something that applies to the King James Bible and the King James Bible alone. And that is, and I've said it many times, over the years, I've had to, in the pro-life, being out there in the front lines of the pro-life movement, I've been arrested a number of times at these bloody abortion mills for preaching the Word of God, okay? And whenever I was charged in a case by myself, if nobody else was charged with me, I could defend myself with my own venue. I didn't need a lawyer, even though Lawyers for Life were always there with me. I didn't need one, and all I had to do, if I was by myself, now, I couldn't do it if somebody else was charged with the same crime, because then they would charge me of practicing law without a license, okay? But by myself, I could use my venue, and I always did, and that was God's Word, the King James Bible. Now, it was the only Bible that you can use that to, because when they ask you in a court, what sovereign nation declared that as the sovereign book of law, King James of England, 1611. This is a book of law, okay? Right here, this is God's law, right here, okay? And so we're going to pick it up and show you. We've been going through Peter. We've been going through some of the differences on what the Bible, what the Word of God teaches, the King James Bible, versus the New Age. And, you know, I had to laugh when they come out with this NIV, and they were promoting the NIV. I remember the commercials, and they would show you lightweight. They would have a guy who was carrying a Bible, and it would be one of the big family table Bibles that we have, the big with a large print, and, you know, where you list your families, all the births and all the weddings and everything in it. They would have a guy acting like he could just barely carry this huge Bible into church. Then you would have this guy walking in with this nice slim edition, the NIV, okay? You know, it's like, well, you know, if you took a big coin purse and you filled that with gold coins, you know, that purse would be a whole lot lighter if you didn't have any coins in it. Right? Right? Then, right. Well, the NIV has removed, listen, 64,000 words from the Bible to get that nice limited edition. And so tonight we're going to pick it up. We've been going through showing you the differences between that. And so go ahead and read Philippians 2:6.
Sure. When being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Okay, that word robbery, that's used, that's the only time it, that word of the Greek is used here in the Bible, that definition of that word, or that particular Greek word. But now listen here, what does he say? And Peter, just jump in when you want to.
Very good, Pastor.
He's being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Okay, so who declared Jesus as God? God the Father declared Jesus as God times over there in Hebrews, right? Okay.
Yes.
Chapter 1. What is the oldest, as far as the dates back to the oldest verse in the Bible, as far as dating back in time, would be the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? Okay, in Colossians, what does it say? It says that the God in Christ is the Godhead bodily, okay? So in all these places, it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as God. Now, here is what it is said, and this is in the NIV, the RSV, the NASV, the NRSV, and even the New King James Bible. Here's what they say. Did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped. Now, that's exactly the opposite. In other words, they're saying he is not God. He is not God.
That's very interesting. Isn't that interesting how they did that?
Yeah. Okay, well, they changed it. Well, there's so many things they've changed. Let's go over to, in fact, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14.
Colossians 1:14, okay.
Yeah.
1:14, and here we go. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
All right. We have redemption through what?
We have redemption. In whom we have redemption through his blood.
Through his blood. Okay.
Yes.
Here's how the NIV, the NASV, the RSV, the NRSV read, okay? In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin.
Well, the blood's missing.
Yeah.
Without the shedding of blood, there is
no remission of sins. No remission of sins.
So they remove that, totally. Now, here, if we go and we read John 3:16, go ahead and read John 3:16.
Sure will. Here we go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
All right. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? Here's what they read. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Now, what's the problem with that?
Well, then that negates us, really.
Yeah, because the Bible says in 1 John 3:2, that we're all beloved, are we not all the sons of God?
Right.
All the born-again people, right?
Right, and they said only, which makes it purely exclusive.
And then in John 1:12-14, what does it say? All of those that are born, okay, that have received the Spirit of God are the sons of God, right?
That's right.
And so what did they do? It's a lie.
Okay? Yeah.
Yes.
And it says we're not the sons of God. And here you have in Mark chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it is written, now listen to this, okay, because this is a real easy one. It is written in Isaiah, the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert. Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Go ahead and read that, Mark, chapter 1, 2, and 3. See if you pick up on the error.
Chapter 1, 2, and 2. Okay, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.
Okay, so where's it say Isaiah in there?
In Isaiah?
No. Read that verse again.
Which one? 3?
2 and 3.
Okay, 2 and 3. For it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.
Okay, so first of all, they say the prophet Isaiah. Do you read that word Isaiah in there?
I don't have the reference to Isaiah right in front of me.
No. Here's what it reads in the NIV. It says, it refers to the prophet Isaiah. It is written in Isaiah, okay? This is what it says in Mark 1, 2, and 3 in the NIV. It is written in Isaiah.
So that's not even there.
It's not even there. Yeah. But if you go over to Malachi chapter 3 and read verse 1, in Malachi chapter 3 and read verse 1, guess what you'll read? You'll read, okay, as it is written in the prophets, a better translation, okay. So there you go. So he's referring to it was Malachi, not Isaiah. So they changed up the prophets. Isaiah came way before Malachi.
You're absolutely right, because in Malachi it says, behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts.
Okay.
That's Malachi 3:1.
Right. And so they're changing all of these things in the New Age. It's like, well.
So this is like reshuffling a deck of cards, really. Totally reshuffled. Everything's totally out of context, if you will.
All right. If you go to, for example, in Psalms 9:17. Here, we read, the wicked shall be turned into hell. The wicked shall be turned into hell. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The wicked shall be turned into hell. That's what the Bible reads. Here's what they read. The wicked return to the grave. How many people you know will go to the grave?
I think everybody in time.
But what, you mean even if we're not wicked?
Even if we're not wicked.
We all die unless the rapture comes first.
So we still have to worry about, I mean, we got to go to the grave anyhow, right?
Yeah.
Even if we're not wicked?
Okay. Yes. That's right.
Here, I can't believe how many different things. Here's another one. If we go over to John 8:44. Now,
John 8:44.
Yep.
You have to wonder at the the dastardliness behind all of this.
Oh, I don't wonder a bit what's behind this.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite remarkable. It's quite remarkable how they've concealed the changes, and yet the changes that they made are overarching.
Ready?
Yeah, go ahead and read that, yeah.
Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
Okay, here, when we go to an example, if we go over to the NIV, the NASV, the RSV, they read, our Father, which art in heaven, they take out, thy will be done as is in heaven, as in earth. to deliver us from evil. In the NIV and the NSV, they totally removed heaven. So, in other words, instead of saying, our Father who is in heaven, they just say, our Father, okay? How many people you know have a father?
Everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Now, does the NIV have the error that's in, like, is it Isaiah 9 about the almas, the virgin?
Yeah. Birth? Yeah. They refer to it as young woman.
Young woman, okay. Having a, yeah.
Now, every place in Isaiah 7, 4, I think it's 7, is it 7:14, I believe it is. And
okay.
Every place in Isaiah 7:14, when it refers to the word Alma, and Alma shall conceive and have a child. Every place when that word is used in the Hebrew in there means virgin, virgin. Okay, go ahead and read it.
Yeah, in 7:14 it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Okay, so they changed it to a young woman will conceive. Okay, a young woman. Now, let me ask you this. If you were to go to, say, a college campus today where there's a lot of young women, how many of them would be virgins?
Probably none.
Let's drop it down to the high school level. What do you think?
Well, 50-50, maybe.
Well, one virgin.
Okay, let's go down to the elementary. All right.
Who knows?
Yeah, let's see.
You don't know anymore.
It's amazing. Now, you wanted to know what's behind this, Peter?
Yes, I do.
Okay, there's a fella named Dr. Frank Logsdon. Dr. Frank Logsdon was the co-founder of the American Standard Version, which is used by a number of people that actually call themselves fundamentalist. And he was the guy that was in charge of the printing the NASV. And here's what he said. In fact, he was the co-founder of the New American Standard Version. People begin confronting people like myself, okay, started confronting Dr. Logsdon and pointing things out. What about this here? No. And after several people have pointed out a numerous amount of things, here's what Dr. Logsdon wrote. I must under God denounce every attachment to the American Standard Version. This is the guy that wrote it.
That wrote it, right.
Uh-huh. I'm afraid. I'm in trouble with the Lord. I wrote the preface. I'm in trouble. It's wrong. It's terribly, terribly wrong. It's frighteningly wrong. The deletions are absolutely frightening. There are so many. Are we so naive that we do not suspect satanic deception in all of this? Here's the guy that wrote it.
Yes.
Okay. Goodness. And yet, I have friends that walk around and carry that thing, thinking that's the word of God. It's an amazing thing, isn't it?
Yes.
All righty. With that, we're going to go to a break, and we'll be back right after this very quickly.
Read his words. Heed his signs. Can't you see these are the times? Earthquakes, famines, and pestilence are all on the rise. The love of man is waxing cold. Just like the way that he foretold. With all these things now happening before our eyes. Can't you feel? Sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be
shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning? Rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Rid up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Our Savior and Deliverer and Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, Yahshua, hallelujah. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning? Rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Gird up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of.
Lord of Lords and King of Kings. That's our Lord Jesus. Amen. All right. A lot of you folks out there have been texting me and emailing me. You wanting to know what a good, what a one of the best King James Bibles would be out there to get. And there's a lot of very good ones. I have probably 21, but one of my favorites is the Henry Morris Study Bible. Henry Morris Study Bible. It is loaded with very, very valuable information, especially where it comes to dealing with the environment. He's really on top of that where it comes to dealing with creation versus evolution. It's a very, very good study Bible. So that's the one I would get, the Henry Morris Study Bible. And so let's go. Dr. Peter Glidden, listen, have you heard that our dear friend Dr. Sherry Tenpenny had a stroke?
Yep, I've been in contact with her, and she's in good hands.
Good. Praise the good Lord. And then you obviously know they pulled her license.
Suspended. License is suspended because, you know, of shenanigans on the board level. Not because she did anything wrong, but because these people are not elected. They're appointed. And they can do whatever they want. They do.
You don't suppose that any dark money from Big Pharma had anything to do with that, do you?
Well, if it looks like a duck, if it flies like a duck, if it quacks like a duck.
We know what probably it means to pay to play, huh?
Probably a pay to play. Yeah, I mean, all I can say is that it's only a matter of time before those chickens come home to roost. You know, people are. I think you were right, Pastor, that people are starting to rise up on their own, and we're not going to stand for any of this nonsense anymore. If they try to have another mask mandate, I think they're going to be surprised at what happens. I think people are finally seeing behind the curtain of Big Pharma, and they're disgusted, as they rightly should be.
Well, out there. In New Jersey, they've already got a couple of schools where they're trying to force in some of the universities. Parents, if you care for your children, I would pull them out of those schools. I would definitely pull them right out of those schools before they put those face diapers on there. They've been proven, and even the N95, which they claim was the cure-all, that has even been proven. It's filled with a lot of problems, okay? Pieces of plastic and things in those end up in your lungs. So, folks, you don't want to. You know, the Bible tells you we were made in the image of God, and they didn't make those face diapers. We're not to be running around now. For you Democrats, that's okay. Maybe some of you should be wearing face face diapers up there. I can see, like, with Nancy Pelosi and Big Fanny out there in Atlanta. Yeah, you know, but no. For God's people, not in God's people. Amen.
But none of those masks even claim to filter a virus. There's nothing that you could breathe through that would filter a virus.
You know, in 2020, I wrote a 20-page expose on that, and it was published for 7 days until it was censored.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is not all this mask nonsense and asymptomatic carrier nonsense and all of that is academically, it's academically proven. And the problem is that in the medical marketplace that we have right now and in the media environment that we have now, you know, you'll have 100 published research articles that say masks don't work, masks are ineffective, and you'll have one that says maybe masks work, and it's the one that says maybe masks work that gets published. And the editor of the, I think it was the Journal of the American Medical Association, when she retired, she published a book. It was a New York Times bestseller all about this. She was the editor-in-chief of one of the most prestigious medical journals in the world. And here's what she said when she retired. She waited until she retired to say it, and I'm paraphrasing here. Medical journals have become information laundering machines for the pharmaceutical industry. If a pharmaceutical company does 100 research studies and 98 of them show a negative result, it's the two that show the positive result that will get published. This was the editor of one of the most prestigious medical journals in the world. Those were her words, and that book was written at least 15 years ago. So nothing new under the sun here, ladies and gentlemen. They're doing it again because they can, but it's our job to ring the bell of truth. And, you know, people understand the truth. When people hear the truth, it resonates with them. And so I think my recommendation or my words of encouragement, if I can offer any, is to pay attention to the still small voice inside you that recognizes the truth and run with it. Because most of what you hear in the mainstream is just a big, bald-faced lie.
Speaking of big, bald-faced lies, I got one right here. Top climate scientist reveals the key fact he deliberately omitted climate change paper to pacify woke editors and get his paper published in a top scientific journal. Here, Patrick Brown, a lecturer at Johns Hopkins University and Doctor of the Earth and Climate Sciences, wrote in the Free Press that climate science must now fit into a pre-approved narrative. To receive publication by notable scientific journals, he also revealed that he omitted key facts regarding climate change and fires in a recent paper for one of these journals. He goes on to say, now, is this surprise at all? This is
Well, you know, it's like the fellow said, love the science, but not the scientist, right?
Absolutely.
Right. And that's something that's never changed. I mean, you've seen these shenanigans over and over and over and over again, especially in medicine. Especially in medicine. They did it with Prozac when Prozac came out. You know, the wonder antidepressant, which wasn't any more effective than placebo, by the way. There was a nutritional supplement called L-tryptophan, which did a better job at helping people feel not depressed than Prozac did. But when Prozac came out, the Food and Drug Administration banned the over-the-counter use of L-tryptophan. And they used bad science to do it. And, you know, I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And like I've said a million times, because it's true, and I'll keep saying it because people need to hear it until it sinks in, the only way things like this can happen is in a monopolized marketplace. The scientific arena is monopolized. The medical market is monopolized. We do not have a free-thinking scientific arena. We do not have a free medical market. And this is what's killing us slowly. And, you know, this is why the stuff that myself and my colleagues talk about is so very important. because you're not going to find it in the mainstream. But we have clinical experience with it. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, one of your listeners, Pastner, she might be listening tonight. First name is Michelle. She had all of these heart problems. She had arrhythmias. She had a dead space in her heart. She had congestive heart failure for a long, long time. And she came into the light, so to speak, to our side of the fence. She started the health recovery protocols, and her heart's 100% fine. 100% fine. It's 100% fine. She does not have any more of those illnesses that the medical community was managing with drugs. Wasn't curing it, wasn't attempting to cure it, was just managing it with drugs. And that's just one story of thousands that we've got. You know, my message and the medicine that my profession brings to the table is not the be-all, end-all, cure-all for all human ailments, but it is extremely sophisticated, extremely effective, extremely affordable. And that's why the pharmaceutical industry is terrified by it.
Yeah, they really are. But let me ask you this. Maybe, you know, should we continue to refer to as mainstream? Because they're really no longer mainstream at all. You know, our side now has, well, we have the majority now of outlets to get the news out there. More people listening to programs like this, still more people actually get their news from radio than they do from television. People don't know that out there. And they've lost so much credibility. I mean, they're like the New Age Bible perversions, you know. They've taken the truth out, and they're losing credibility. I mean, people don't trust them anymore at all. And so here, let me tell you what this Dr. Brown did, what he had to take out. He said when he published his paper, he had to say that fires in Canada, the wildfires in Canada and Europe and Maui were solely on climate change. What he had to take out was that 80% of them were caused by humans, okay? That's just a little piece you have to take out, right?
Yeah.
He
just
says
a,
this. He said,
minor
to put it,
detail. Just yeah. A minor detail. Huh.
He said, to put it bluntly, climate science has become less about understanding the complexities of the world and more about serving as a kind of Cassandra, urgently warning the public about the dangers of climate change. However understandable this instinct may be, it distorts a great deal of climate science research and misinforms the public, and most importantly, makes practical solutions much more difficult to achieve. So basically what he said, look, he said in order to get his piece published, he had to lie. And that was Dr. Patrick Brown from Johns Hopkins University.
It's the gift that keeps on giving. And, I mean, he's not alone. It happens across the board. I mean, look at all of the doctors that promoted remdesivir, and it wasn't because they really wanted to. It was because they would have lost their job if they didn't do it.
You know how we remember that name, remdesivir, is run there with fear. Run there with fear, okay?
Well, that's a good one.
And yeah, and here's what some of the frontline doctors told us. They said, if you're going to use that, you have to use such minute, such small amounts, okay? And if you use, you can actually be helpful, but they've got to be very minute. He said, the problem is the doctors didn't know how to prescribe it. We're killing people. They killed a lot of people with that.
Yeah, and nobody goes to jail. And, you know, everybody sleeps soundly at night. Well, maybe some people don't sleep soundly at night, but I've never really understood, you know, I've never really understood how somebody can do that. But, you know, the world is made up with lots of different people, a lot of different patches that make up this quilt. But, you know, I honest to God, Pastor, I want a front seat, you know, when these people go to hell. I want to be there. I want to watch them march right through. I want to see it.
I don't know. Hell's a pretty horrible place. I don't know if you want to see anyone in such a place. But listen, let me ask you about this. The beef company CEO warns of government attacks on real beef. This is about the administrative deep state here. The globalist elites and their puppets and government want people to eat lab-grown meat. That Bill Gates is behind a lot of this.
Bill Gates meat, yeah, that's what they want. They want that. Why do they want that? Well, probably because it's going to hurt people. Probably, if I had to guess.
Well, in this laboratory, this meat is made of tumors. Of tumors.
Excellent. Yeah, let's have that. Let's have some more of that. That sounds fantastic.
Okay, and so they're going to give us tumors to eat and bugs. We get to eat all the bugs we want.
Well, that's really great. Bugs. Let's have bugs for lunch, bugs for breakfast, bugs for dinner. Thank you very much, Bill Gates. Bill Gates can't even get the bugs out of his computer, for goodness sake. I guess that's why he wants us to eat them.
Bill Gates got some nasty habits. That's why his wife left him, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently. Yep.
Anyhow, it's an amazing thing.
Pedophile Island was populated by visited by a great number of people, apparently.
Oh, a great number of people. And here, again, as we're telling you, that the Democratic Party is flush. It's flush with pedophiles. This is why they want to pass that legislation. This is why the Democrats want to change the word from pedophile to what? Minor attractive, okay? Folks, so this is, and again, we told you way back when, okay, that Joe Biden's job, as appointed to him, was to keep that border open, keep the drugs coming in. Over 45,000 Chinese nationals. We're talking about men who, these virtually, they're Chinese soldiers, okay?
That's right.
Came into this country. And now, how much fentanyl? Enough fentanyl to kill the entire country over many, many times over. And what is that doing? It's killing off our young people left and right. And so, but that's Biden. And the idea, he has weakened our military. Every one of your top generals will tell you we could not win a war now. Our military is too weak to win a war with China or Russia. That is pathetic, right? He's destroying our country day by day. And so, and what do they want to do? The Democrats are scared to death of Trump getting back in, so they're trying to use the 14th Amendment to keep him out. The problem is he hasn't been charged with any kind of an insurrection at all, okay? And he didn't. He did exactly the opposite. The people that are charging him with insurrections are the ones that did the insurrection. That comes right
out of the way that it is.
Yeah, that's right out of Karl Marx's handbook.
The way that it is.
Yep.
In the Democrat handbook, they accuse you of what they're doing.
Always accuse you.
They do it loudly, and they do it with full media support.
Absolutely. You know, these people that want to bring back the mask, why don't we do this? For people like The View and that, forget the mask. Let's go with full hoods. Let's put...
That's a funny story. I couldn't believe it. There was a dentist that I used to frequent because my wife, a good friend of my wife, worked for him. And he was a pretty good dentist. I mean, he was a personable guy, and I was happy with his care. Then coronavirus came along, and he used one of those hazmat suits.
He
looked like a moon man with the oxygen tank on his back, the whole thing. That's how he treated patients for 2.5 years. I couldn't believe it, so I stopped going to see him.
Wow. That's an amazing thing.
And he's a man of science, a medical person. It's nuts what happens here. It's absolute insanity. On steroids. It's going to be real interesting to see what happens if they try to roll this stuff out again this fall. And you know, it's this one thing that it's always been curious to me, right? Oh, it's flu season. Really? It's flu season? Well, where did the influenza virus go? Where'd it go? Why does it only come out in, you know, wintertime? And what about Australia and below the equator? Where does it migrate back and forth between? Does it, you know, go to Australia for the summer and come back here for the winter? And what's the deal? And with airline travel being what it is, you would think that influenza would be everywhere all the time. Because when it's winter here, it's summer in below the equator and vice versa. So there's got to be flu season 12 months out of the year globally. So why doesn't the flu virus migrate on the airplanes, and it's a worldwide phenomenon 12 months out of the year? Can anybody answer that question?
Well, maybe the virus is afraid to fly, Doc. Maybe the virus, is scared to get on the plane.
There's so many levels of nonsense here, quite frankly, that it boggles the mind. And again, if people, you guys get it, and you guys understand it, and I'm telling you that even the amount of understanding that you have about the shenanigans that goes on inside of medicine here, if you saw 10% of what I've seen in the last 35 years, it'd be hard for you to get out of bed. You'd be so horrified. As God is my witness, as bad as you think it is with the development and the delivery of medicine here in the not-so-free United States, I'm here to testify it's 1,000 times worse, and it's not getting any better. People need to educate themselves about how they can extract themselves slowly from the medical mousetrap, for goodness sake.
I was in to see for a checkup on my shoulder, and I had injured my shoulder. And so this nurse in there, and she was asking me, what kind of medications do you take? And I said, I don't take any. And she looked, she rolled her eyes. She says, at your age, you don't take any. I said, oh, I don't take any. And she goes on the computer. She looks my record. She says, you really don't take any. She gets up and she walks over, and she puts her hand on my shoulder, and she says, God bless you. She said, you don't take any. She said, only if all of us. I'm amazed at how many of these people that work in the medical field are loaded with all of these medications they wish they had never gotten onto. I know this, that more people die every year in this country from prescription drugs. Listen, more people die from prescription drugs than all the car, truck, plane, train, motorcycle, and gun accidents combined.
Combined, that's right.
More people die every year from prescription drugs. And they're being killed off, often by their doctors. But the left says it's all right. It's not that bad if it's planned. In other words, if you kill it off, you can kill people off as long as it's planned. It's a planned killing, like what Bill Gates is doing with the depopulation. I don't know. I don't agree with that at all. Okay, what do you think?
I mean, they're playing God because they get to say who lives and who dies. And as long as they're on the side that lives, well, everything's okay. As long as they're in that part of that population, well, everything's okay. And this is the problem with the Democratic mindset, because they don't have any sense of propriety. They don't have any sense of shame. And they don't have any remorse when what they were talking about turns out to be proven incorrect. They don't apologize for it. They just turn 180 degrees, walk away, and then they blather out some other nonsense. And this is, I think, one of the fundamental differences between the conservative and the liberal, that the liberal, it is the rare liberal that takes responsibility for their actions, and it actually shows remorse once they're proven wrong.
Remember going back to
Republicans do that all the time.
Back when, the Republicans have got some real problems with rhinos, and that's what we're having there in Denver, especially where you had those rhinos now are trying to get President Trump off the ballot. And these
no, it's unbelievable.
These are really Democrats, running as their rhinos they're traitorous. They're despicable. Okay, we have several in here in Ohio. Unfortunately, they're treachery. They're traitorous. But here now, I lost my train of thought. You got me off my train of thought. But let me do this while we have. Oh, I know what it was here. Very quickly, I was going to tell you. In Washington D.C., listen to this. They polled the residents. 64% of them said they would find Trump guilty before he had a trial. Okay?
Yeah.
And now only 8% said they would find him innocent with a trial. And so, and this is where that very, very corrupt, that so corrupt that wicked old woman, that Judge Chunkin, that wicked old woman there in D.C., what she is trying to do, she is so corrupt, trying to keep, make it where Trump cannot go out and campaign. She's going to do everything she can. Mrs. Chunkin, I got news for you. Listen to me and believe this. The Bible says, touch not my anointed. God's going to get you. Listen, Chunkin. God's going to get you. Listen to me. God's going to get you, old woman. You better just, you can plan on it. You can bet on it. Okay, Randy, you have yourself a quick article there.
Yeah, and actually I wanted to ask Dr. Glidden about this too. It says 13 reasons why the Plandemic 2.0 perps are launching the, is it Eris or Eris bioweapon right now? Are you familiar with that, Dr. Glidden?
No, I'm not.
Okay. And really what it says is this, is that it says Operation Scariot, which features the extremely scary Omicron subvariant known as Eris or Eris, is the main show for folks who are still captivated by the ridiculous government-sponsored but extremely serious genocidal enterprise. And then it gives 13 reasons why this pandemic's going to be how it's going to be implemented. It says to cover up the massive excessive deaths that have been directly attributed to the COVID vaccine, to stealthily kill vaccinated children, to intensify the slow motion slaughter of the vaccinated 20 to 45 year olds, to further turbocharge the numerous medical ailments such as myocarditis, autoimmune diseases, and psychiatric illnesses. But the one that you all both touched on that I'd like to just jump right down to, it says is to create maximum confusion and conflict throughout the last year of 2024 election cycle so that the Democrats can steal another election, as well as set the stage for a long-planned American Bolshevik revolution. The other thing they talked about is it's also to divert attention to the electorate from multiple crime families, such as the Biden crime family, to provide maximum distraction from the many Democrat crime sprees currently being implemented and investigated by the House, to eliminate the many baby boomers as possible, to cut back on Social Security and disability and Medicare and Medicaid rolls. And it goes on, but these are the reasons. And it's called Scariot, and they're saying that they're going to start this in fall of 23, which is now.
Right. But people are waking up, even a lot of the corporations now are saying go woke and go broke, okay? And so they're starting to wake up.
Bud Light.
I'm hearing from so many people that what they want to do with their mask, they're forget the mask. That ain't coming back, okay? And in fact, what's going to happen is when you see these people walking around wearing these masks, people like Randy, you're going to say, you're chewing tobacco, aren't you? Right? That's what you're doing. You're chewing tobacco. What are they going to do? Take your mask down?
Right.
I love it.
Okay. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to open the phone lines tonight, and we're going to just have every time you're here, Peter, people are calling, and we're going to just open the phone lines and let them find out how they can get healthy, okay?
Let's go.
And so I want to get handsome. I'm not doing bad. Let's see if you can work a miracle. All righty. We'll be back after this.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.